Originally from Jakarta, my guest in the studio this afternoon started learning keyboard at the age of 5. She started learning classical music during her high school and doing grades and then playing at church. She then took her career as a musician to the next level back in 2010 when she moved to Sydney and later completed her bachelor degree of jazz performance at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music. She's a busy pianist on the Sydney scene and prior to COVID also on the Indonesian scene. She studied in LA under the Israeli pianist Tamir Hendelman and is about to launch her debut trio recording entitled Revisit. Amanda Sawando, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thank you, Frank.
Amanda, can you tell us what life was like growing up in Jakarta and how you became attracted to the piano?
Okay. First of all, the city that I grew up in was Yogyakarta. It's a different city.
Ah,
yeah,
there you go.
It's pretty close to Jakarta, which is 1 hour flight. But like if you drive, it's like 12 hours. So don't do that.
So it's a bit worse than Sydney traffic.
I know. So Jakarta is like very like, you know, metropolitan with like a lot of buildings, while Yogyakarta is more like traditional. So there you go. There is a city called Yogyakarta, people. So it's pretty interesting because in Indonesia, we actually learn music differently. When I was growing up, it's a lot of, you know, it's I'm from Indonesia. I grew up in an Asian environment. It's like very like a lot of, you know, a lot of music, a lot of you have to be able to do this, you know. It's good. I'm really like glad that my parents did that when I was growing up, and then like it's so interesting learning classical music until the age of like 13, and then I stopped playing classical music and then just playing it at church, which I was like, oh yes, there's a lot of like chords, a lot of combinations of like pop songs, which I think I like. Growing up in Indonesia, it's a bit different in terms of like education, but I'm really glad that like my parents keep on like asking me to pursuing me to do this, do music, you know, and I'm glad that now I can make a career out of it. Yeah.
After you moved to Sydney, you were inspired to play jazz piano by Judy Bailey. Tell us how that came about.
Yeah, so basically when I moved to Sydney, I was going to college. I did a college in C3 College, which was like in Oxford Falls. And I did like contemporary music a little bit. And then I had my beautiful first ever piano teacher. Her name is Charmaine Ford. She actually originally from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And then she's like my first ever jazz teacher, and she was so lovely. She inspired me a lot. And then when I was in C3, I met a friend who's from Germany, and she actually encouraged me to come to see jazz. She is a saxophonist. And then I met a friend of mine who's also like a pianist, which her name is Francesca Prihasti. Mm. Yeah, she's now in New York. She's the one like encouraging me, come on, Amanda, let's do music. And then went to see Judy Bailey's trio. That was like the first time I saw that gig. And then I thought like, oh my God, there is a jazz that's like this, you know, there is a music that's very like calming, very pretty, beautiful melody. Because when I was in Indonesia learning jazz, all I know was like hard, electric guitar, rock music, like quite a lot of, you know, just electronic driven. I think like a lot of Indonesians now doing a lot of standards, like a lot of jazz standard, more traditional, mm-hmm. but not when I was growing up. So yeah, when I saw Judy and then I got the opportunity to actually learn from her, it was amazing.
Yeah, she's a real true icon of Australian jazz.
Definitely.
Even though she's from New Zealand.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Who do you suggest are your main influences, and are they necessarily piano players, Amanda?
Not necessarily. My main influence—that's a question, because I would say like when I was starting to learn music, learning jazz, like my influences would be like starting from a person like Oscar Peterson, like, you know, classic, as well as Gene Harris, and like I like a lot of Christian McBride as well, and he's a bass player. Like I love the tone and like beautiful, just like simple standards that makes into like enjoyable. I watch Christian McBride Trio here. That was like, it was at venue at 505. And then that was the first time I saw 505, like just like the first note that they played, and everyone was cheering. And that's not even like, you know, fast piece. It was like just blues, like very, you know.
Mm-hmm. In the pocket?
Like slow blues, yes. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. Oh, like it was the best. So I think Christian McBride with a lot of bluesy influences. And I got the opportunity to learn from Christian McBride's trio pianist, Christian Sands, when I was in New York, as well as Tamir Hendelman. He's like my mentor as well. Every time I go to LA, I always like talk to him, and like I actually one of the tunes in the album like inspired by him and his trio with Jeff Hamilton. And yeah, and then like later on, Aaron Goldberg would be like another like inspiration, Robert Glasper as well as Aaron Parks.
There's some heavy company there, yes. That's for sure. You've probably since discovered a thriving jazz scene in Jakarta and Indonesia more broadly. What can you tell us about the jazz scene in Indonesia and how it compares to Sydney?
Yeah, so basically, when I was in Indonesia, I wasn't really into jazz. I was playing music when I was in Indonesia, and then but mainly I was doing other things. And I was still in high school, not doing like a lot of music, obviously. But I always loved music. I went to the jazz festival in Yogyakarta, part of the jazz scene. What's there's like this big Java Jazz, there you go.
Oh, yeah,
Java Jazz Festival, yeah. Yes. I actually never been to Java Jazz Festival in Jakarta, but like one of the bands, I think from Indra Lesmana, Barry Likumahua, they came to Yogyakarta, my city, so I watched the show, and it was really good. It was really inspiring. And again, though, that time, like all I know about jazz was like loud and very complicated, and then like it's so different. But then when I was in Indonesia in 2013 and 2016, when I came back, it's so different. Like went to Jakarta, saw there's this pianist Neil Giuliarso from Jakarta who studied in Juilliard, and he was amazing playing like standard jazz, and got a chance to meet him in the Lesmana, and it was really good. And like it's just different jazz, like more traditional as well as arrangements, a lot of arrangements, like beautiful and pretty harmony. But of course, there's also like the side of like fusion jazz and like electronic, which is fine. I appreciate those as well. But now more variety in Indonesia's jazz scene, obviously.
Amanda, you were invited to play for both Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, the ex-president of Indonesia,
yeah,
and also Joko Widodo, who is the current president, when they visited here in Sydney at the University of New South Wales and at the Convention Centre. Tell us about that experience.
Wow, Frank, that was good. I don't even remember. Yeah, but that's great. I now remember. Yeah, that was so good. That opportunity to actually be in the same stage as the president of the United States of Indonesia.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was a great experience. Actually, we were working with this Indonesian pop star. His name is Rizky Febian. Yeah, yes, that's his name. And then we were just working together a couple of days before the gig. And just to play on the stage with him, it was amazing. And then to meet the president, we didn't get a chance to take photos, however, but yes, we took photo with the wife, so yeah. But that was like a great experience, and like it was such an honor to be able to do that, and obviously it will carry throughout my whole life experience. I can tell to people that I know, obviously, that I had the opportunity and the privilege to actually play in front of the president. So yeah, that was an amazing, yeah.
Your new album, Revisit, it's really an amalgam of many experiences composing around the world on your various travels. You're joined by the double bass player Muhammad Mehmed Basik, the drummer Gian Timothy Go, both of whom probably not largely known to Australian audiences. Can you tell us a little bit about the quality of these players that attracts you and what they're bringing to your band?
Yeah. So I met Tim. Tim is the drummer, and Mo, I called him Mo, he's the bass player. I actually met Tim through church, and then he's finished his degree at Australian Institute of Music. I like his personality of playing drums, which has like the elements of fusion as well as, you know, standards, because that's actually bring something in my music. I like something standard, like traditional, but like more like into like pop and like fusion element as well. While Mo, I met him through gigs. He did actually study at this Conservatory of Music as well, but I did it like he did double degree at that time, and then we met through gigs. I like the quality of his bass playing as well, because again, he's not just like doing a lot of traditional jazz standards, but he can also bring more elements of like fusion and rock, and like he's very like both of them, they're like very free, chill. The way they play, they can think outside the box, you know, which I like. It's not like, not just I give like an arrangement of like a piece of music, and then he can just create, they both can create like different, we can go somewhere together.
Yeah.
And they're friends of mine, which is, you know, of course it's good to be able to play with someone that you usually play with. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that clear empathy that you have with them on stage and during performances. What are your next goals, Amanda?
My next goals would be, I would like to share, you know, my music, and I would like to write more music now that I finished writing this album, Revisit, because I have been thinking of doing this for so long, and then life got so busy, we never, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Then like I had the opportunity to actually, let's just do it and then finish it so I can move on to a different project. So my next goal would be keep playing a couple of these songs, obviously Revisit, and I would like to share my music. It's not just I play music for showing off, but this music is for people, and this is like my journey since like 2010. I moved to Australia, the journey of music playing, the journey of people like who I actually play with, who I actually met. And I would like to share this journey to people, and I would hopefully, like, my next goal would be like writing more songs, hopefully record more songs, and being able to, you know, tour, planning to go to different states, but hopefully we will be able to do that.
Tell us a little bit about Revisit, the piece.
The piece of Revisit. So this Revisit piece was the latest of out of the tunes that I wrote. It actually came from this melody that I had in mind. Like, this melody just kept on singing in my mind. And then when I was just trying to figure out the chords, I was scrolling through my voice memo, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, I saw like maybe like 3 years back that I have sung the same melody.
Wow.
Yeah, and then in my mind, like, it must be something that I need to, you know, I need to make into a tune. And actually singing it, and then just try to play a little bit of it. Some of my friends who listen to it, and my sister, my husband, they've just been listening, and they've just been singing the same thing. And then, like, I'm like, stop singing that, you know. But it's actually kind of good as well that they've been singing the same thing. That means, like, the melody stick, you know. And then I just try to put chords into it, and then like that next section, the bridge section, is a little bit fun, a little fun section, inspired by Aaron Parks again, like a bit of 7/4, which I think like it's very fun to improvise over. So yeah, that's Revisit.
Amanda Sawando, thanks for joining me in this studio.
Thank you.